Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SWB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just from my own head, joins me. We have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you want to participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website, the www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or also, if you want to participate on the web, you can also go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. I will be streaming there also and being paying attention to anyone who's chatting there. I might not be able to type back, but at the very least, I will be able to respond via my very melodious voice. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall, sfuoncall. And of course, my personal account is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. That's correct. There is no T in that. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Cole was busy working on a new scale for Shapeways. It's going to be the scale 7000. I'm not quite sure what it's different between that and the current scales, but it looks like it's going to be cheaper. For people, I'm assuming it might be a little bit smaller, which makes it cheaper. But obviously, he said it goes from anywhere from $16 up to like $46, I think it was. Which still it can be quite expensive on a per miniature basis, but for $46, you know, I'm assuming it's really high quality stuff at that point. Obviously, if you're a really miniature buff and you like Starfleet Battles / Star Trek, that's the place to go. And of course, he's also probably been working on the Starfleet Battles module SSJ3, Shadow of the Eagle. See, Patrick was busy working on SFB updates and also on the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene was busy taking pictures of her new house, for one thing. Also, she was busy editing the Call Arms Starfleet Book 2. I got that right. Almost said it incorrectly. And, of course, she's busy managing Facebook and the Twitter feed, commanding the Rangers, and also repairing any damage that happened to the BBS. We had a little problem this past week where a number of accounts got lost, and we just asked people to create their accounts. Fortunately, I was not one of those, but, you know, if that happens, there's nothing I can do about it. I'll just have to, you know, re-up as soon as possible. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, still not done yet. I have not seen the scheduling for it yet, which is going to be the finals of Sapphire Star Tournament 2, which is, you know, again, Jack Taylor versus Dana Madsen's. That's a Black Shark versus an Orion Battle Raider. Of course, the Battle Raider decided to take the two Hellbore with the Phaser G and the Type D-Rax in the wings, so that they protect those nice Hellbores. So it's going to be a very interesting game. I can see that being very interesting because of that means that the Black Shark has four drone racks, while the Orion has two. The Orion could use his drone racks, the drones, obviously, for defensive if he wants to, or offensive measures if he felt like that would be a better use of it. And moving on to the library report, unfortunately not much progress there. There's actually some progress, but I've neglected to update my list from what Frank had done. And I apologize for not grabbing the latest update. Things are just running out of time this evening. But the completed conversions are known to be 2,519 and yet to be converted at 811. With the percent complete still at 75.65%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Pam Friends, and welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have the one, the only, the Barry Kirk. How you doing, Barry?
I am doing fabulous. I'm doing fabulous. Finally arrived back home. Haven't been here since Thanksgiving. I don't.
Barry, I can't listen to you and do this.
Oh, I don't even think I was in this house Thanksgiving. So it's been probably September, October the last time I was home.
Yep. Oh, man.
And I'm looking at a kitchen full of Springer Spaniels.
Ah.
All laid out in their beds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Any case, I'm also looking at, in the SSD book, Omega 3. There are several possible candidates we could use as a basis for a tournament cruiser, because there is no tournament cruiser that we have yet.
That is very true.
Yeah. So I started with the Stinger Heavy Cruiser.
Which has
a BP.
Continue.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was looking actually at the Stinger Battle Cruiser myself at 148.
Yeah. Okay. I can go look at the Battle Cruiser. That Battle Cruiser is a much more powerful. And the main difference is that Battle Cruiser has some stuff that I don't think you really. It's got some. L'Oreal technology in it. It's got flame shields, three of them.
Huh.
But it's also got the enhanced tachyosonic beam.
Right.
Which, if you look at the charts on the SSD, that just doesn't work.
Right, well, the charts in the SSD are cool. Wrong. I noticed that actually for the tachyosonic beams in the
room. When you're off that phone, let me know, because I don't know what it's doing.
It was mentioning how...
My wife was asking me questions. What?
When you're off that conversation, let me know, because I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Oh,
okay,
oh boy.
Barry, I'll put you on pause for a moment.
Support. Yeah, put me on pause.
Okay. Yeah, because he has to deal with his wife. But anyhow, the one thing that I noticed definitely was with the tachyosonic beams, let me see if I can pronounce it right, according to the note, the tables in the rule are correct. The tables on the SSD are incorrect, which makes sense because of you can easily update the rule book versus updating the SSDs. Because SSDs require a total reprint, so which costs a lot of money, and Lord knows, I can understand why Steve Cole currently is, unwilling to do a whole reprint, because he's got a lot of I'm sure he has a lot of copies of the Omegas, which he still wants to get through. And so just throwing those out, that's a lot of money down the tubes. So that is true. When it comes to, let me bring that up. Let me do this one. And that's, okay. The heavy cruiser is definitely less powerful. You only has the tachyonic beams, not the enhanced ones. We can ignore this chart here on the side, because the chart is actually here, which is basic damage is one, not three. Light overload is basically two instead of four. Standard overload, actually regular overload, that's what it's called here, versus standard overload, which is what it's called on the original chart, is three, and the critical overload's four versus six. It looks like even the ranges too changed a little bit when it comes to overloads. Light overload being able to go out to only 14, and the standard overload only be able to go out to a range of 8. So, you ready, Barry?
Hey, I am. She was trying to set up a domain for, I guess, a blog for my son. And so she bought a domain name, and she wanted to, I guess it takes about, what, a day or so for that to propagate and whatever. All right, so we're looking at the battle cruiser. So it's got one, two, three, four enhanced tachyostatic beams. Now, the enhanced tachyostatic beam, even the chart in the Omega Master rule book, the basic, which takes 3 points of power to charge, does 10 points of damage if it hits. But it's like a PPD that fires five times, five pulses.
Right.
So let's say at range 9 to 14, let's say you get four pulses that hit. You did 3 points in, you got 8 points out. That's actually pretty good. That's better than a photon. It certainly cost, the photon would have cost four to arm. This cost three to arm, and it's got a better hit number than a photon. But at that range, you can put 6 points of power in, and you say 12 out, so that's better than a photon.
Agreed, but
And then, of course, at range.
right, range.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I was going to mention is, of course, because of its one, that's damage on a per impulse basis, that can be good,
Yes.
that could be bad. It could
Right,
be
right.
could be good in the aspect if you're hitting already a down shield. You have that whole the
Yes.
whole oh
Needs
jeez.
that effect.
Thank you.
Yes, I know.
But yeah, or it can be bad, which is because it also gives the your opponent an opportunity to change shield facings.
Unless he's Andromeda, in which case he has a lot less flexibility there.
Agreed, agreed. But fortunately, because of the numbers, oh, where is it? Darn it. I gotta look at the chart again. Here it is. Okay. For regular tachyon beam, it's not until you actually get the regular overloads that you actually can do degradation. Until that time, it's purely energy. And let me just do one quick check, because I'm pretty sure I did not see any special rules for the Andromedans.
No, I didn't see
Well,
anything
that's
for the
also
Andromeda.
that's also per weapon versus let me just look at this, Because currently, on you got four of them, but the maximum is four if you center line.
Yes.
That's hard to keep, period.
For five impulses, yes.
Yeah. So I wouldn't fire, no matter what, I would not fire four, ever.
Yeah, but even if you fire three
Right.
at range eight,
Right, then it would get degradation because
then
of it's th three hits.
right. Well, you're doing 12 points of damage per impulse, and
How's that?
with hit number two to eight, say the first impulse, two of them hit,
Right.
and the second impulse, the third one hits. So you've done
Right.
35 points of damage. Well, no, I'm sorry. Let's see, four. 10, 14 pulses at 4 points each. That's 56 points of damage.
Barry, which table are you
Yeah.
looking at?
The one in the enhanced tachyosonic beam
Oh, okay.
in the rule
Right.
book.
So you're actually also you're we're still looking at the battle cruiser.
Yeah. So that's a lot of damage. Now, interestingly enough, let's say I fire on impulse 32. I can start charging the weapon even if it's not done firing.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yes.
So in theory, you can have it firing
Every
every
33
turn,
impulses.
basically, is what you can.
Well, no, not every turn, because it would be the end of one turn,
Yeah, you
then.
fire the end of one turn, you're still firing in the next turn, and you can fire the same weapon the next turn after that.
Well, yeah, but there's basically twice, it says here, right? Given TSB may not fire more than once at any period of two consecutive turns, but it could be fired on impulse 32 of turn X and again on
Okay.
impulse 1 of turn X plus 2, twice in 33 impulses.
Okay. So it
Yeah.
basically it's you can it could definitely you could do two turns in a row, but it would require it to be at the latter end of that's of the next turn.
Right.
Right. If you want to fire three.
Yeah, the enhanced cut. Yeah, the regular overload, the enhanced tachyostatic beam, let's see, the regular overload has a range of eight. If somebody decides to turtle on you or star castle on you, and you can get to range four, holy crap. You can do, your chances are very good at hitting the first pulse. So that's five pulses. That's 25 points of damage. So 100 total pulses, 100 points of damage total. Of course, they can be held. The enhance can increase the arming level by two levels per turn. So I could take a regular overload or a light overload and add energy to make it a critical overload. And the enhanced tachyostatic beam can hold critical overloads.
Dang, man. Ouch.
Yeah, that's a nasty weapon. Yes, ETSBs can be held at the critical overload stage for 4 points of power.
Right. But again, you're limited to a range of four, too.
Well, yeah, But unlike the PPD, the minimum range is 2, not 4. That's huge.
Minimum range is 4. No, the minimum range is 4. Because the
minimum no.
The myopic zone is 0 to 3.
No, myopic zone is 0 and 1.
The myopic zone for the PPD.
Oh, for the PPD, yes, but for the tacheostatic right. beam, it's 0 and 1.
Right. Agreed. But at the same time,
which is a huge advantage over the PPD. Now, it doesn't have the splash damage, but still.
Wow.
Fine. Yeah, we definitely have to tone the Battlecruiser down a little bit.
Dang.
Because it's also got the sonic pulsers. It's got 4 of those. Then it's got...
Yeah, it's got 4 sonic pulsers.
And 6 PQ1s.
Right.
So that's basically no P3s, but the equivalent of 10 P1s. Now, the sonic pulsers are interesting in that they're like a phaser. In every way, they act pretty much like a phaser 1.
Right.
But they have no capacitors.
Ooh.
And they can only be fired off of batteries.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
Or they can be fired off of your phaser cap. I think you can fire them off your phaser caps.
Well, let me look at this.
But you don't get phaser caps for them.
Right. Sonic phasers use the rules for phaser except defined differently. They cannot fire. Blah, 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 bump. Okay. Procedure. Sonic one turn armed weapon requiring 1 point of energy. They can fire only using reserve power or phaser capacitor system, which the Singer ships do not possess until Y-175. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that ship does, the Battlecruiser does have 6 P1, so it has a phaser capacitor of 6.
Right. But that's kind of shared.
Yeah. But it has a very large battery.
Oh, yeah. And that's when I was counting up, and there are 8 batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, oh, jeez.
Now, that ship also, and it also has 3 flame shields.
Dang.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many tournament cruisers that could stand up to that.
Yeah, here's the problem, Barry, the way I see it at the moment. Between those two ships, the Battlecruiser and the Heavy Cruiser,
yeah,
a huge difference. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. This is not a 32 point value difference. I'm not
I would agree with
where
that.
Where they're getting came up with this BPV for that Battlecruiser versus that Heavy Cruiser.
It was never play tested.
I tend to agree with that.
Yeah. Now there's another one that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's, hang on, I'm going down to it. On the very last page is a gun cruiser.
Okay. Look at this.
That might be the one to use.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
It's only got 3 tachyosonic beams. They're right. Not enhanced. They're regulars.
Right.
It's only got 2 sonic pulsers.
It's got 3 flame shields.
Not 4. What's that? It
has 3 flame shields.
Has the 3 flame shields. It has...
Fireballs.
Fireball launchers.
Wow.
Two of them.
Yep.
And a fireball is like a, So it's got five heavy weapons, but it only has four PQ1s and two sonic pulsers. So it's kind of light on phaser capability. Basically, seven P1s, no P3s. So it's a little light on phasers.
Mm-hmm. Which...
And it only has three, not four of the TSBs. But it does have two fireballs and three flame shields.
Yep. Wow.
That might... No, but...
Oh, yeah. I agree. That seems like a better overall balanced ship for a tournament play. I agree there. To me, that's the weird part about it is...
It's such a mixed bag.
Well, one's a mixed bag. Number two, it's considered only 3 points... It's considered 3 points better than that battlecruiser.
It's showing 141, not 148.
Right. Well, the battlecruiser is... Actually, no, battlecruiser was what? 148?
148.
Yeah, so it's actually considered
this
7
is 141.
Worse. Okay. 7 points lower, okay.
Right, because it has the regular TSBs, not the ETSBs.
Right.
And it's only got three instead of four.
Right, it's only got two sonic pulsar versus four.
Only two sonic pulsars versus four. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a couple of the PQ1s. So it's got six of the PQ1s.
Yeah, two of them are rear half.
Yeah, two of them are rear half. So it's got eight total phaser ones, no P3s, basically. But then it's got flame shields and fireballs.
Right. In addition...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, great. And his regular shields, too.
It's shield... What's the size? Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14... 28-point rear shield. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10... Wait a second.
That's... Interesting.
2, 4, 6,
there it is.
8, 10, 12, 14. 28-point shields all the way around. So that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And
all three tachyosonic beams are FA.
Mm-hmm.
But with 8 points of battery, that ship can be sitting on a, say, a standard overload, and it can pump in, 3 points of power to give it a critical overload. Oh, look, we're in range.
Right. Yeah, but at the same time, I would never rely on getting into range four.
No. And you cannot critically, you can't change the arming level once you start firing.
Right. I think,
but the fireball adds an interesting feature because that an overloaded fireball is enveloping.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with how a fireball works?
Remind me. I know we've gone through it before, but it's been a while since we...
Yeah. So you roll to hit, and if it hits, you roll for damage. And I think, and I'll have to check, but I think the overload just adds 1 point of damage per shield facing.
Hmm.
Let me double check.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, the fireball was one of those weird ones where you actually had to do a re-roll. After you do the two hit, and then you roll for damage. It's like playing D&D.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, it's a D&D fireball. overloads.
It's a wizard!
What? It's a wizard. It's a magic user.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is different than a wizard. There's all sorts of... Overloaded fireballs require 3 points of power on the second turn of arming instead of 1 point. Can only be overloaded during the energy allocation. They cannot be overloaded through reserve power. Overload fireball hits. The standard damage is scored. But in addition to this, the target ship takes 1 point of damage on all six shields, including the facing shield, which is cumulative with the original damage. All internal... Okay. General shield reinforcement is subtracted from the facing shield damage before it can be subtracted from the enveloping portion.
Okay. Ooh.
Yes.
So you first take all the general reinforcement against the direct damage first, and then the enveloping damage. Wow.
Yes. Fireballs are two-turn arming, requiring 1 point each. So it's a low power draw weapon, unless you overload it. Mm-hmm. Then you need, then on the second turn of arming, you need 3 points of power, which has to be allocated. But what that does is, okay, you've used your tachyosonic beams, take down a shield. I can use the fireballs to... guarantee at least 1 point of damage on that down shield, which, nice, but, you know, it's only 1 point of damage. It's not like a hellbore.
Right.
Where if you've got a down shield, game over.
Oh, agreed, agreed.
And the fireballs have limited arcs, too.
Right, right. The ones on here are just the right front, right, and left front, left.
Yeah.
And there's... Okay, I'm looking to... Sorry, I'm confusing FS and FB. Whoops. So, yeah, it's only the two fireballs. I agree. The ship is definitely has potential.
Yes.
It has already 36 points of power. The question, do we want to give it the extra two? Meaning to allow it to go speed 30.
To give it the full 30 warp?
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. In that case, it goes up to...
Yeah, because you've upgraded all of the tournament Omega ships, so they all can go speed 30, right?
Right, okay. Right. So that would give it 42 power.
38.
I see 8 at APR, 4 impulse.
Oh, I missed the other APR. Okay, my fault. My bad.
No problem.
Yeah, I only saw the APR on the right. I did not see the APRs on the left.
That's okay.
So, that's 8, 12. Right now it's 40 points of power. Wow. That'd be 42 points of power. That's a lot of 42. Power.
10, 8 battery. Let's see. 2, 9 batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd leave it as is when it comes to the batteries. But what one thing
yes.
I might want to do is trim back the APRs by 2 since we're going to give it 2 warp to keep the power the same.
Yes. Leave it at 40 power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, at least I think that's a good starting spot, a good starting place.
Yes. So that's so that ship, basically the hold cost of the TSBs is pretty low. So it's a basic holds for 1, a light overload holds for 2, standard overload holds for 3. Critical overloads can't be held.
Right. Yeah, and the damage is quite a bit different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is...
The
only 1 point of damage with basic, 2 points of damage with light, 3 with regular, and 4 for critical. I mean, per impulse, obviously.
Right. Yeah, so that would actually make the TSB...
Okay. The TSB is a 2-turn army weapon.
Yes.
So. I'm thinking tactically speaking what that means. Because obviously certain things come to mind immediately. The obvious one is when it comes to firing, you want to try to get it so that you're firing an opponent right after he turns. So that either has to bring in a new shield facing... He has to hit, or he has to just take it on the same shield.
Five impulses. That's a long time.
Oh yeah. So
chances are he's going to split it over 2 shields.
Right. Okay, so most probably, that's tough. You know, getting into overloaded range 8, is not easy, and to maintain the same shield. So most definitely, when it comes to closer ranges, you're definitively going to be splitting it over 2 shields. Probably,
yeah.
Your opponent is going to want to hit it on shield number 2 or shield number 6 and just keep running. You know, probably hit you and then turn. While you can't turn. Because if you turn, obviously you've given up those pulses or whatever they're called.
Yes. Yeah.
So
basically your pulses, yeah.
Yeah, so... See, that's one of those things that is a downside, you know, even if you had the enhanced, you know, tachyon beams, and that is you have to maintain that direction. And the way to maintain that direction without getting your butt handed to you, in my mind, because of what's going to happen? Let's say that you hit him and you're in like range 8. Fine. Okay. First barrage, no problem. He hits you on impulse, the next impulse. Because he gets into like range 7, gets into his own overloaded range. Because if I recall correctly, some of the Omegas don't get into overloaded range to range 7.
Range 7, yeah.
Yep. And in that case, it hits you. Okay, so you've gotten two pulses on the same shield. After that, he's going to turn, but you can't turn.
Right.
Now, if he's gotten overloads and he's actually gone through your shield, then he can mizzy you back.
He could.
You know, while you're trying to maintain those pulses to give full damage against him. So you have a choice of either taking more turners yourself or turning away and losing the damage that you could possibly do on your weapon. So they're making your weapon possibly half as useful, you know.
So instead, the only mitigating thing is the flame shield.
Right. Not at least for the gunship or the battle cruiser. They both have the flame shields.
Yeah. And what's the flame shield? I think it's quarter damage reflected.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Flame shields or OG-1. OG-18. OG-1, here it is, flame shields. Yeah, backlash against activation file function of the impulse activity. And how long does that effect? I forget how long it, I thought there was a limited amount of time that they actually stay up.
They can only stay up for a certain amount of time, and then once they go down, the longer they were up, the longer the cooldown, and that cooldown is a long time.
Right. Cooldown after it has been used. A flame shield must cool down for a period of 32 consecutive impulses for each four impulses of protection it produced.
For each four impulses of protection, it goes down for how many impulses?
32.
32.
Yep.
Ouch.
Thus, a flame shield that was active for 16 impulses would require 100, i.e. four turns. 128 impulses, i.e. four turns, before it could be activated again. So in other words, you'd be using those flame shields probably for those four impulses where you're hitting your opponent. You know,
or you could use it for eight, just to make sure.
Yeah, but then
you have five impulses of firing.
Right.
But remember that you have two flame shields on the number one shield.
That is true.
Yeah.
But it only covers the number one shield. It's not like it overlaps.
The flame shields. Flame shield number one covers shields 5, 6, and 1.
No, they're missing
flame
the point, Barry.
Covers what?
The flame shields only overlap the one shield. They don't overlap two shields. You really would like to see it overlapping both shield number two and number one, and number six and number one, if possible.
Well, you have one flame shield covering shield facings 5, 6, and 1, and the other one covering 1, 2, and 3, and the third one covering 3, 4, and 5.
Right. Oh, understood. I understand that basically, but see, Barry, what that means is your shield number one becomes ultra critical. Because
that one has overlapping coverage. There's two flame shields that cover the number one.
Correct, but if I recall correctly, flame shields are not additive when it comes to energy back.
Correct. They are not additive. But the point is that let's say you come in kind of on the left side out of the number six shield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. and you bring up your flame shield and you fire three TSDs and you fire the two, you fire all your phasers and you have one flame fireball that reaches. So that's a heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, your opponent fires at you, but you throw a quarter of what he threw at you back at him. That can hurt.
Oh, agreed.
So, but now the next, then you turn off and you run away. And while you're running, if it looks like he's going to get a shot on your butt, you raise the rear flame shield. And so by then you get your next fireball, you get your TSBs rearmed, you get your fire, and then you get your TSBs rearmed, and you come around on the right side and use the other flame shield.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think flame shields are that expensive to run. They're just long cooldown.
Right, right. Well, the biggest issue with the long cooldown is if you go over 4 impulses, then it becomes 64 impulses versus just 2 turns because of the TSBs can fire once every 2 turns, a minimum of 33 impulses basically between fire.
But what I'm saying is that let's say you have you keep it up for 8 impulses. So that's 64 impulses of cooldown. Let's say it was Flame Shield 1 that you had up for 8 impulses. And that's 64 impulses of cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 2 turns. But by the time your TSBs are back up, and now you come in using Flame Shield 2. But Flame Shield 1 is still cooling down. Let's say you use Flame Shield 2 for 8 impulses. Okay, now you've... but by the time your TSBs come back up, Flame Shield 1 is cycled again.
Right. The tough part about that is basically changing directions.
Turn mode D is a problem.
Well, no, changing directions, because... Barry, that was one of the difficulties that I had when I was fighting against the, it was a Romulan versus, I forget who it was, my last game, which is, we're going clockwise, we're going around each other clockwise. Now,
right.
But at some point, those shields that are facing them, facing your opponent, you don't want to go clockwise. Because they get knocked down, so you want to change direction.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do. Because basically, what it requires you to do is, at the very least, to break off your attack and then reestablish yourself, your dominant position. Because that's the whole reason of what you're doing is why you're going around chasing around, going around and around and around in a circle. Is that you're trying to maintain that pressure on your opponent. And as soon as you turn in the opposite direction, you've given up that advantage of the pressure on your opponent and having him still running. You know?
Yeah. So I hear what you're saying. Well, I think this ship really needs to use its head. That's almost it's got to use its head.
Right. But, again... You invariably you want to avoid using that hat as much as possible because for most part there's only two reasons to use that hat. Number one is for ultimate tactical advantage. That it gives you immediate tactical advantage to either be able to chase your opponent or be able to get weapons into arc that you currently cannot, that are not in arc. That's number one. Number two is your escape button.
Yeah.
allows mm-hmm. you get into a situation where if you continue going where you're the way you are going, you are have your down shield facing your opponent, or you're gonna hit a seeking weapon that you don't want to hit, and that requires your hit in that situation. Premature you in my mind, premature use of that hit can cause you to lose the game. Now,
yeah. On the other hand, there's certain ones. The Jindurian comes to mind, where you need to use the hit for offensive uses.
Yeah, well, the Jindurian.
And Ramadans very often use that.
Yeah.
What's that?
The Andromeda usually uses it as a defensive tactic as it stands. It just
like anyone else. Jindarian has to use it because its weapons are just all dispersed over everywhere.
Oh, agreed. But that's the reason why it currently is still unbalanced. It's still so weak in the game. You know, I would love to try to get the Jindarian in the game, in the tournament, you know, get sanctioned. Now, I know the way they want to play it, which is, you know, which is the iron. What I would love to try is to get one of the asteroid ones. You know, awful turn modes, but powerful weapons. See if that could do any better than what you've got with the lower powered weapons, which have these arcs, which are absolutely freaking nuts. You know, because they're covering 360. Your heavy weapons are covering 360 degrees, but they're all kalawanka. You might get two facing at any one time.
Right.
Which is the big issue with the Jindarian ship. Now, that's the wonderful part about being able to use, in the case of the Jindarian, to be able to use the asteroid ships. Yeah, the wargs, you know, the warp railguns, they are really kind of wonkus, you know, same kind of arc problems. But you don't have a turn mode; you can't hit. You know, so it doesn't count. It doesn't matter as much. You know, it can't hit. I don't. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the asteroid ships, it's not that they have really bad breakdown rating, it's that they cannot do it.
Yeah.
I'd have to double check on the rules on that. But that sounds right to me.
Yeah. Well, the gunship might be an interesting one to try.
Yes. Oh, I agree. I agree. I think that'd be a good place to start. You know?
Yeah.
Because I agree that the enhanced view bookmarks. I agree that the enhanced TSBs are quite a bit more powerful than ever imagined.
Oh yeah.
But again.
Yeah, they are.
But again, as we're talking through this, it also has those issues, which is that to actually be able to do all the damage they possibly do, it's got to keep the same shield facing your opponent, their opponent, or at least pretty close to a standard problem
with the ISC. You've got that same issue. Now the ISC mitigates that a little bit with splash, but
right, exactly.
This one doesn't have splash.
No, it does not. So, yeah, in some cases it wouldn't be. If you got it right, it is possible to have it so it conveys it over multiple shields. it just gets difficult.
Yeah.
Because you have to have it go. What you really want it to be is start off with shield number 6 and then bring it around the shield number 1. Or start in shield number 2 and bring it around the shield number 1. That, what that means, though, is that you're going from turning as an oblique attack to turning into your opponent.
Right.
Because if you're going from shield number 6 to shield number 1. Now, obviously, in a way, you want to avoid going directly in on him on shield number 1 because you're trying to protect your shield number 1. But
right.
At the same time, it might be the best thing to do is come in on shield number 1 at a farther range, and then after you got your first or maybe hopefully your second pulse in, then turn to left or turn to the right at that point.
Yeah.
Now, also, you know, after the first battle pass, that is going to be a challenge. To do that kind of maneuver where you start on shield number 1 and then switch to shield number 2 or shield number 6.
Right.
Because after the first battle pass, most probably you're going to be doing a lot of obliques. At least that's my experience.
Yeah. So, oh, man. I'm falling asleep here.
Okay, well, I'll let you go then.
Okay. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
At Gamers.
Yep. I'll be there with your board games.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
See you around.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
There. Yeah. So, yeah, the big thing with, as I pointed out, with the major weapon, the TSB, or then even the enhanced TSB, is going to be the same issue that you currently have with the ISC. And that is the multiple pulses. Yes, it looks, if you add up the amount of damage, either one, a PPD or TSB, or even enhanced TSB, if you want to get really nasty, it's going to be difficult to get all of those pulses on the same shield. And Lord knows, with the PPD, well, what happens usually with a PPD? Usually a PPD, a person with an IC with fires PPD at range, like starting around range 15, possibly, maybe a little closer, maybe as close as range 10, maybe. But again, at those longer ranges, what does the IC expect? The IC expects that your opponent is going to take maybe one, probably two pulses on the same shield and then turn to take two more pulses on a brand new shield, at least on the first battle pass. You know, battle passes after that, then it becomes a little more difficult, as mentioned earlier, you know, with the whole going around and around and around in circles, which you end up fighting out of your obliques. You know, you're doing a lot more oblique attacks than you do a head-on attack, because it's not easy. Unless you are willing to do something which you might not want to be doing, which is turning off your attack. Now, here's always the difficult part about turning off, period. And with this ship, it's even more to the point, is that you got two fireballs. You got right front right and left front right. Left front left, so that they come out at the, you know, off on the sides. So if your opponent, and even though they're not going to do that much damage, to be honest, if your opponent is chasing you, but it doesn't have enough weapons overall to keep your opponent from chasing you. If you turn away from your opponent, what's your opponent going to do? Now, in theory, you know, it depends upon who has the initiative. Therefore, that person decides what to do first. You know, well, if you don't have the initiative, I'm sorry. So if you say that your opponent has the initiative, that means you have to decide what you're going to do. First, are you going to turn away and then him turn towards you and chase you? Or if you have the initiative, then your opponent has to decide. Now, even given that, the question is, can your opponent, in theory, take advantage of the situation and be able to wait? You know, instead of waiting two, then you're going to wait. But, you know, obviously, your opponent's not going to want to do that too much. Not going to want to, if he doesn't have the initiative, that means that he has to wait at least an extra impulse, take another impulse of damage from the TSBs or ETSBs before, you know, he decides which he's going to do. What is he going to turn away, or is he going to turn towards you? Now, obviously, as soon as you turn away, most probably you're not going to turn away first, no matter what, because of in the singer with the TSBs, you want to hit him as much as possible. Now, of course, there's always the question of, okay, did your opponent knock down your shield? If your opponent knocked down the shield, then you've got two choices here. If he knocks down your shield and he's taking internals, do you stick to your guns and have it so that you can still do inflict more damage onto your opponent? Or do you have to throw up your hands and go, it's not worth it? I have to turn away, possibly, but not 100% guaranteed that you're going to change it so that your weapon will be out of arc. It's possible you might be able to turn and not have the weapon out of arc. Obviously, the longer the distance, the better possibility there is to that. I think I got that right. Yeah. Especially if you can do something like, if you are like this, where you're coming in, he's coming in. If you're coming in, tying up a oblique, you fire it at a longer distance, you can get it so that you can hit possibly the same shields, but also you can turn one way or the other easily. And so if you turn this way, if you turn, you're here, then you can turn this way. He's still going to be in your FA arc. Yet you have to go right across his bow. You have to almost cross the... Okay, you have to cross the T. But you can get it so that turning will not cause you to lose your lock or whatever, you know, to be able to still damage your opponent as your opponent comes in. So you basically have to fire at a longer range, which means less damage. Because the thing is, that the critical overload, range 4, that means you're knife fighting. Knife fighting is really difficult, especially knife fighting with this turn mode. Whoops, sorry. Mm-hmm. With a turn mode of D, that's not easy to do. Because your opponent can be going faster and still have that turn radius on you. And that, my friends, presents a real problem. So I would never, the only time a critical overload would be, in my mind, would be, you might be want to be able to do it, is if your bow stopped. That's the only time I could ever imagine that ever to happen. Now, obviously, if I'm your opponent, I never want to be stopped unless I'm going to do I'll throw out a weasel the problems with the weasel against it is you're going to, you would probably launch one of your fireballs first. After your fireballs knocks out the weasel, then you could, and clears, then you can, fire your TSBs. You know, but and even that, even then, in my mind, the problem with doing that for the shift is that it's a delaying tactic. When it comes to using a wall weasel to offset for basically for the ECM shift, that's a delaying tactic. That gives you a minimum of 4 impulses, a maximum of however much your opponent will give you. So in my mind, that you anyone who's going to throw out a wild weasel, they've got a plan after that. At least if you don't, you've already lost. That's why in SFB, speed is life. And if you're not moving, you're dying. Now, obviously, I think the greatest expression of that is not an SFB. The greatest expression of that is going to be in Federation Commander. But that's another story for another day. So I think we'll wrap up with that. I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.